Welcome back to Rosie on the House, where we have the 7 o'clock hour, which we call Rosie on the House Fun Hour, because you never know what we're going to talk about. And how could we not talk about the Halloween asteroid? We just finished discussing that with Dr. Sky. But how about the little earthquake we had here in Arizona? I have never in my life felt an earthquake, and that still stands because I didn't feel this one either.
We slept right through it.
Didn't feel it. But I want to bring in the Arizona Geological Survey Director, Mr. Lee Allison. He is the Arizona official state geologist. And I want to talk a little bit about earthquakes. You know, the producer of our show always says, Rosie, we don't care where you go in the 7 o'clock hour, you can go anywhere, but just tie it into home ownership, home improvement, home remodeling some way. And I think the moral of the 7 o'clock hour, asteroids falling from the sky, earthquakes shaking us from the bottom, might be the best thing we can tie this into is to our 9 o'clock topic, renting.
So you don't have to repair damage.
Don't invest in a home. Just rent a tent. Now, Mr. Allison, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Rosie, thanks for having me back again.
Golly. This is just Mr. Allison and I getting in touch with each other were an experience. You were flying in from D.C., and I was trying to ring you, and we finally made contact just this morning.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a challenge. I think I had about 5 minutes to try to call you last night between connecting flights, and I missed you. So, but I'm glad you followed up.
Well, you know, I was talking about this situation of earthquakes below and asteroids attacking us from above with my grandson. And he said, you know, T-Pair, what we all need to live in is hovering spacecrafts.
Well, you have to make sure you hover high enough so that you're not impacted by a mudslide, debris flow, or landslide.
Well, let's talk about some of these landslides. You know, I'm thinking it from memory. March 2008, we had the landslide that closed State Route 87.
Right. That was on Easter weekend. And that one, the landslide came down and actually not just covered the highway, but the base of the landslide actually buckled underneath the highway. And it took them months to get that stabilized. And it turns out that there's a huge ancient landslide complex up in the mountains that nobody had recognized before. And the part that moved was just the very bottom part of the toe of the slide next to the highway. And interestingly, your first thought would be, oh, let's go and pull all that dirt and rock off of that that bulging mass there so it won't come down on the highway. But by doing that, you would actually destabilize the larger mass of the landslide up on the mountains. So we worked with ADOT, the Department of Transportation, and they did a very comprehensive geotechnical assessment and ended up drilling deep holes there and putting I-beams, vertical I-beams, going 40 feet down along the side of the highway to try to stabilize the base of that landslide. It's very expensive operation.
It's like you're trying to anchor the icing to the cake that's being held on the side at an angle. You don't want the icing to slide all off.
Yeah, very much so. But realizing that the icing on that cake actually was millions and millions of tons of rock, you know, up behind that, up on the mountainside. So it was not a trivial undertaking.
Well, we were on that road like 2 days before it actually occurred, and you could actually see the shear point well above the freeway. And I actually pointed it out to the passengers in the car. I said, look at that shear point. I've never recognized it before. But that's scary. But how about the landslide on State Route 89 up by Bitter Springs? That thing just slid off the whole side of the cliff. It's amazing no one was hurt in either one of these events.
Yeah, that's actually very surprising. Those landslides in that area have been known since about 1901. That was the first geologic reports. And those have become the type locality for something called a mega slide. All across that region, a combination of the steep cliffs and a geologic unit known as the Chin Lee Formation are particularly susceptible to heavy rains or groundwater. And so those are some of the biggest landslides known anywhere. And it's where the definition of a mega landslide was first brought forward. So I think we all knew that there were landslides there, and it's always been a challenge. How do you engineer roads through those landslides because it's the only way up and down those cliffs.
Well, one benefit to the landslide at State Route 89 is the detour through the Navajo Nation. The alternate route to get to Page through the reservation is actually a very pretty drive, and I had never taken it until, of course, they closed 89.
Right. And the first people who took it after they closed the road had some problems because it wasn't paved.
Right. Yes, that's right. It was dirt for a long way. All right, yeah. Let's get to earthquakes. We've got we have earthquakes in Arizona. Seems like magnitudes always are kind of in the 4 to 5 range. We in June of 2014, we had that pretty good quake down by Duncan.
Yeah, just west of the New Mexico border, the little town of Duncan, that was the largest earthquake in the region in 75 years. We calculated it at 5.3 magnitude. And interestingly, we've had within the first couple of months after that, we had over 150 aftershocks. And at least 30 of the aftershocks were large enough to be felt. And we are continuing to have aftershocks. They're slowing down. They're less often, and they tend to get smaller over time. But we're still we put a new station, seismic monitoring station, out there specifically to track the aftershocks on that. So that one, we're still feeling the shaking from that one.
So that's June of 2014. Then November of 2014, just a year ago, we get a pretty good shaking up in Oak Creek.
Yeah, that was a magnitude 4.7 between Sedona and Flagstaff. And again, we're still having aftershocks, and some of them are still being felt, particularly in the Kachina Village area.
And
what's interesting is that that's getting closer to the kind of the seismic capital of Arizona. More earthquakes occur in the Flagstaff area between Flagstaff and the Grand Canyon than anywhere else in the state. And we've got some of the most active faulting in the state going on in that area.
Well, what did I read about this quake in Black Canyon City, that it may be an indication of a new fault or a previously unknown fault?
Well, that's a question we're looking at right now. We don't show any known faults in the area. We've never mapped anything there. And so one of the questions we have is there a buried fault? Is there a fault that we've just never identified before? So we've had three earthquakes on Sunday night, and all were felt to varying degrees. Tuesday night, there was an aftershock of 2.2 magnitude that was felt by some of the ranchers in the area. But we've already recorded a large number of aftershocks that are too small to be felt. So one of the things we can do is, by calculating the locations of all of these, we can see if they define a fault plane that may never have been known before or may be buried. So that's one of the investigations we're carrying out.
What's going on down there?
I wish we knew right now, but I'm hoping here in over the next several weeks or months, as we continue to collect data and interpret it, we can come up with a better idea.
Is that the closest one to the Phoenix area that has occurred?
Oh, we get 130 to 40 earthquakes every year that are that we can detect and get a fairly good location on. There are a couple of faults to the east of Black Canyon City, but maybe 20 miles away, that we consider active, but we haven't had much activity on them in recent years. One of the things I have to mention is that we've only had a statewide seismic monitoring network in place in the last 8 years. So prior to that, there were just a few stations scattered around the state run by the U.S. Geological Survey, and they weren't close enough, or enough of them, to be able to detect all of the earthquakes that went on. So for the first time now in the last 8 years, we're confident that we're detecting every magnitude 3 earthquake that occurs in the state, no matter where, and we think we're getting almost all of the magnitude 2.5s. But when you compare us to California, which has 3,000 seismographs running around the station, or the state, we have 8.
Now, when I'm
so there's a lot of small earthquakes occurring that we're not capturing.
I guess so. And in the way y'all rate an earthquake, the Sunday night quake at Black Canyon City, like one of them was like a 4.0, and one of them was like a 4.1 or 2. It seemed like those should be pretty close together, but like everybody noticed the 4.1.
Right. A huge number of people felt the 4.1. In fact, the area where people felt it has a population of 4.6 million people. So three-quarters of the population of Arizona was in areas where people felt the ground shaking. That's really significant. But only a fraction of those people that felt the 4.1 felt the 4.0. And this is where I'm going to get a little bit techie and arcane here, but a lot of people have learned over the years that a magnitude 4 earthquake is 10 times bigger than a magnitude 3. But what most people think is, oh, that means the amount of energy going out. Well, it's actually a lot more geeky than that. Charles Richter devised this formula back in the 1930s. It's actually 10 times as much ground displacement. And when you translate that to energy, it means a magnitude 4 is 33 times as much energy released as a magnitude 3. So when you actually take a look at the numbers, a 4.1 may be 40% more energy release than a 4.0.
Imagine the amount of energy it takes to shake that amount of mass of rock and stone and dirt and vegetation and structures. And that energy is mind-boggling.
It is. And if you think about it, if you go from a magnitude 4 to a magnitude 5, 33 times as much energy. If you go to a 6, it's 33 times as much as that. So a magnitude 6 is 1,000 times more energy released than a magnitude 4.
Wow.
And so if you go up to a magnitude 7, now you were 33,000 times as much energy as the event that woke people up on Sunday night.
Well, are earthquakes named like forest fires
based hurricanes.
Based on their point of origin or alphabetically like hurricanes?
Yeah, we do that fairly typically. Like you said, the Duncan earthquake. Now we have the Oak Creek Canyon quake, and now the Black Canyon City quakes.
And I love to geocache, and we're going to actually have a geocache expert on next Saturday talking about finding longitude and latitude exact locations. How close can we identify the epicenter of these so we could actually geocache our way to ground zero just to see it?
Well, we have a calculated epicenter for each one of these four earthquakes that have been felt in the Black Canyon City, but I have to caution that our nearest seismograph is about 40 miles away, and the second nearest one is 60 miles away. So we have a location that we calculate, but there's a couple of kilometers error possibility on that. So it's actually a fairly large circle, but we can give you our best center of that spot and say,
okay,
this is a calculation, but it could actually be within a little larger circle than that.
Very good. We need to take a short break, but we'll be back with Mr. Lee Allison, Arizona's official state geologist, director of the Arizona Geological Survey, talking about earthquakes.